it out. Good work there with he and Tom Helmer. Always doing some good stuff. Always good to have Tracy on. What's happening today, Tracy? How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing good, except Monty has just pulled out this last segment. He pulled out, if the playoffs started today already in baseball, and we're 45 games into the season, he pulled the, if the playoffs started today.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the, if the playoffs started today?
I was just pointing out that three of the best teams are in the National League West, and the other two divisions suck out loud.
You said if the playoffs started today, three of the five teams would be from the National League West, yes.
Well, that's factual.
It's factual, but it's 45 games into the season. It's factual. He's right.
Yeah.
Whether
anything else, then people start talking about, well, you know, if we win this many games, then we go here. So the bottom line is the Rockies are playing very good right now.
But I get a kick.
Why not enjoy it?
Thank you.
I get a kick. I think it's enjoyable to see. It's nice. It's a nice change. I mean, the biggest difference between this team is the fact that they can play and play well out on the road. Currently 4-2 on this 10-game road swing, and they'll be at Philadelphia for four games. But to have the record they do on the road, I mean that's the biggest difference right now. Other than the obvious with starting pitching and bullpen and stuff, but winning on the road, I mean, it's been huge for this team, hasn't it?
Well, that's what you have to have starting pitching for. In all honesty, I mean, you're not going to outscore everybody every day, particularly when you get on the road in some of these ballparks. And so the key thing for you to be successful is to keep the other team from scoring and then have that pitching. Now, when they've got to use Qualls or they've got to use Lyles to try and eat up innings, they're still in trouble. But, you know, you're talking about the 12th and 13th guy in the staff. And, you know, when they have a chance to win, they have the guys that can go in and can get the job done. And I think, you know, it was real evident yesterday. You know, it's all of a sudden there starts to be a little comeback, and then you go to, you know, you get Russin gets in through an inning, and he's been, I think he's been a blessing in the bullpen. But then after Russin, Ottavino comes in, and it was interesting because I had texted Buddy Black and said, well, you got more guts than I do. You left Ottavino in the face of those two hitters, and the left-handed hitters. And he said, well, the first guy, Sleeber likes the ball up, and McGee's fastball is up, and Ottavino is down. And he said, well, told Foster just to go out and tell him, don't throw him a fastball in case it goes up. Make sure you keep it down. And then he said, the other guy's a switch hitter. He's a much better hitter from the left side, or from the right side, so we just wanted to keep him left-handed. So, I mean, it's pitchers that they can interchange, pitchers they can use in situations. They got three guys setting up Holland who have been closers. They've got the best closers, but they've handled that situation. They understand what it takes. And so they can go in the seventh and eighth inning and get things set up for Holland pretty well. I think that's why you can win on the road.
Tracy, with regards to Bud Black, I mean, I want to come down on Walt Weiss at all, but how much does the experience, especially at the big league level, for as being a manager for Bud Black, plays into a part of this Rockies team as well?
Well, I think the second time you do any job, you're better. But I also think that Freeland, Sensatella, and Marquez make a big difference, and so do Holland and Dunn. Mm-hmm. And when you have those five new faces to a pitching staff, it's a pretty radical remake, and you know that has a lot to do with it. I think really this goes back to the last year of O'Dowd, when they basically started to tell Guyvette, your theories are stupid, and they started having guys throw curveballs again. They started letting guys pitch the way they were capable of pitching instead of trying to create clones. And they got that going back in place, and all of a sudden Billy Schmidt wasn't the worst guy on earth at drafting college pitchers and high school pitchers. All of a sudden they're starting to come through. I mean, it's all been part of a process, and then Bud Black comes in, and he's a very good selection to come in and handle this type of a team. But let's not overlook Foster and Holmes and the jobs they've done in helping these young guys come along and take the step forward too.
Tracy Ringlesby joining us here on the program. So Hoffman gets the nod tonight, comes up. Is this just a spot start, or are we going to see him more and more? What is the reasoning behind Hoffman coming up for tonight's start?
They had a doubleheader on Thursday.
Okay.
And particularly with the young arms, and that they don't want to bring people back on short rest. So they can bring Hoffman up tonight. They send out Tapia, and then tomorrow they activate Story and send Hoffman back. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point during the season Hoffman did come up full-time, and they might work the young guys, kind of alternate them into a bullpen role to kind of give them a break from the rotation, and then bring them back in the rotation at different times, just to kind of control the innings that the guys pitch.
You know, the young guys, I tell you what, Freeland was pretty good, but even when they're not sharp, they're still pretty good, because I think I heard on the final when Senzatella, I forget which one it was, one of the young guys pitched in Minnesota and wasn't great, but still was good enough to get the win. Even when they're not sharp, these guys are still solid enough to win baseball games right now, and that seems like it's a big deal, a difference between some of the pitchers they've had in past as well.
Yeah, but that comes back to having young talent that's been given a proper guidance, and these guys are competitive. I mean, they've been told what they can do, not what they can't do, and that was part of the problem with the Gaivette regime, is everything was what you couldn't do. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that. Whereas Foster and Holmes have come in, and Mark Wiley, who's in charge of the pitching in the minor leagues now, they've got an attitude of, okay, what are you comfortable with? What's your best thing? Okay, that's what we're going to can do. You're going to do that, and we're going to add something else to it. You know, instead of taking things away, adding things, giving guys options. But, you know, if a guy's been successful his whole life doing something, and then you tell him, well, you can't do that, well, as soon as there's any type of a struggle or any type of a failure, it's your fault. It's not their fault. And it makes failing much easier to deal with, because you changed them and made them do it differently. And that's, I mean, one of the, to me, as far as coaching is concerned, that's probably the most important thing is to realize that you have to make people believe in what you're teaching, that you can't just assume that everyone's going to consider what you're saying to be better than what they've done. And I think that's a mistake amateur professional coaches make at times, is that they want to stereotype everybody. I mean, if you did that, Stan Musial couldn't hit. You know, but you've got to let a guy fail at what he's comfortable doing before you can tell him he can't do it.
Well, don't you draft them because of what they're doing and doing well? You don't draft them with the idea that, okay, they do that great, now we're going to change them to something else?
Well, people that want to take credit for everything do, Dave.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had that guy. You know, and that's part of what happened here. Matzik is a guy that Gaivette and McLaughlin, the first day through at a bullpen session after they signed him, they completely changed his mechanics. Here's a guy that they took in the first round of the draft, a guy that gave over, you know, $1.5 million to, and Billy Schmidt's like, well, what did you do to this guy? Well, we remade him because we wanted him to have longer arm action, and we needed to get rid of the curveball. Well, that's why we drafted him. And, you know, they had a thing going there with Bettis that, well, he's just going to be a middle reliever because he doesn't have a good slider. No, but when you drafted him, he threw a 74-mile-an-hour curveball and a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. Even if the curveball's not perfect, it's a changeup with movement. You know, why are you taking a guy as a 35th player in the entire draft because of his curveball, and then you got people in your organization that won't let him throw it? And they've gotten rid of that mentality, and that was, to me, was a very critical thing they needed to do. And it goes back to what I just said. You don't ever try to tell someone they can't do something until they fail. Then they're very receptive. But if they're successful and all of a sudden you start changing them, they're going to have bad days. But then it becomes very easy to blame you for the failure, not to look at themselves and say, I need to do something to get better. And, I mean, it goes time and time again. I remember asking Don Baylor once, what did you do to Andres Galarraga that other people didn't do? He goes, oh, it's simple. I found him underneath the stands in St. Louis in tears because he thought his career was over. So I didn't tell him to do anything different than anybody else had told him to do, but when I told him, he was desperate enough to listen. Bingo.
always good to catch up.
Tracy Ranglesby catches stuff insidetheseams.com. It's always a pleasure. Tracy, enjoy it, and welcome my Cardinals to town on over the weekend.
Yeah, I'll miss it, but that's okay. I'm glad they're coming to town.
Where are you going?
I've got to go see somebody get married.
Oh, okay. Very good. You're going to have a lot of grass out there in that place of yours.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at it right now.
How much rain you get this afternoon?
You know what? I just got home. I was at the Butterfly Pavilion with my grandson's second grade class, but it looks like it's been raining for a while, and it still is.
Right. Yeah. Good stuff. Thanks, Trace.
Plenty of hay.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
See ya.
There you go, Tracy Ringles.